Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, hallowed, hallowed. Done on the earth as it is in heaven, hallowed.
Morning. I'm going to dismiss Power Kids at this time. Two Sundays ago, we started a study of the kingdom of God. And we learned that day that Jesus speaks more about the kingdom of God than any other subject in the Gospels. Over 100 times, we have specific teachings about the kingdom of God from the Lord Jesus. He called it the gospel of the kingdom. And he said this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the nations of the earth. That's the gospel we're trying to recover. We've suggested that the gospel that's popular today is a reduced gospel. A gospel where Jesus is Savior, but he's not sovereign. And we've got to get back to the good news that Jesus is offering us life in the kingdom of God. I heard a story of a woman, a Christian woman, very attractive woman, that had to travel a lot in her job. And she had to be a lot of times in restaurants or hotels by herself. And someone asked if she often got uninvited male attention. She said, yes, it's pretty common. How do you deal with that? And I want all the ladies to listen up, because what she did will work anywhere, anytime, any place. She said, I've got five little words that makes the guys leave me alone. When they start in, I just simply say, have you been born again? That seems to get them to leave me alone. Evidently, she is seeking a man who is seeking the kingdom of God, because the Bible says, you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. What's the first thing that you look for in a man? What do you look for first when you measure a man? You see, evidently, what Jesus looks for first is to see what the man looks for first. Let me say that again. The first thing Jesus looks for is to see what a man looks for first. You see, Jesus knows that we are by nature seekers. He talks about that in what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He says, I've noticed men seek. They're given to desire. They seek clothes. They seek money. They seek security. And Jesus does not condemn men for being seekers. That's our nature. What He condemns is what we seek first. And so He says in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? We want to explore that today. And if you're going to seek first the kingdom, you've got to understand the very first rule about living in the kingdom of God. And the first rule is to seek God's rule first. That's what Jesus said. We saw last time that Jesus has brought the offer of God's gracious rule into this present evil age. He came preaching, repent. I bring you some good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. But this is an evil age. And the thing is, a lot of other kingdoms are at hand as well. So the kingdom of God comes to men demanding one fundamental thing. A decision. Make up your mind. Decide whether or not you are going to seriously seek the rule of God in your life. You've got to understand the kingdom of God is not like other kingdoms. It can't be your third choice. It can't be fifth on your list of priorities. You do not possess the kingdom at all if you don't seek it first. Do not profess allegiance to the kingdom of God if you're going to spend your highest energy attempting to possess other kingdoms. This is what Jesus meant when He said, repent. Repent means so much more than just don't cuss so much and stop looking at the swimsuit issue of Sports Illustrated. Repent means give up your allegiance to all of those other empires where the first rule is your will be done. Look at Matthew 6:33 from some other translations. The New Living Translation says, live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. The Good News Translation says, be concerned above everything else with the kingdom of God. The Contemporary English Version says, more than anything else, put God's work first. The Living Bible says, give Him first place in your life and live as He wants you to. The easy-to-read version of our own World Bible Translation Center just says, the thing you should want most is God's kingdom. Now remember, Jesus says, this is good news. It really is. It is good news to live with God in charge of your life instead of yourself. You see, we tend to think of repentance as something we have to do. No, repentance is something we get to do. This is good news, Jesus says. You don't have to repent. You get to repent. You get to give up all these other kingdoms and choose the rule of God. That's what you should do more than anything else. That is the first rule. But how do we do it? I'm going to give you three suggestions. I'm going to tell you right up front, they're hard, but they work. Here's number one. You must tender your resignation as master of your life. That means you got to get off the throne. You ain't supposed to be king. Over 30 years ago, all the sports world was excited about a big match in March the 8th of 1971. Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fighting for the title. Life magazine had an interview with Ali. And he spoke of himself before the big fight. He said, there seems to be some confusion. We're going to clear up this confusion on March the 8th. We're going to decide once for all who is the king. He says, there's not a man alive that can whoop me. I'm too smart. I'm too pretty. I am the greatest. I am the king. I should be a postage stamp. That's the only way I could get licked. Well, you need to know Ali lost the fight. We're very good at proclaiming we are king. We're not very good at being one. But we all think we should be. Because we've all inherited from Adam this rebellious nature that instinctively resists any threat to our personal autonomy. There's no place where the infection is worse than America, because you got to remember, our country was founded on the notion we serve no sovereign here. We are an independent people. And we call it cherishing our independence, but what it really is championing our belief that we can operate as our own sovereigns. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The first sin was essentially this. Satan whispered to Adam and Eve, you don't need God. You can do for yourselves what he says he's doing for you. You can run your own life as well as he could run it for you. So take charge. Be the master of your fate. Be the captain of your soul. Go out there and get your own throne. And our agenda for self-enthronement was never made more clear than when we assassinated Jesus. He came along and said he was king. He said he deserved our allegiance, and we said, no, you don't. We serve no sovereign here. And we crucified him. Listen, loved ones. There can be no desiring until there is a dethroning. You can't seek the kingdom of God until you resign as master of your life. You see, the early church understood that. They preached the whole gospel. They didn't just preach Jesus as Savior and he'll get you into heaven. They preached Jesus is sovereign and he'll run your life. You know what they said about the early Christians in Acts 17:7? The critics in Thessalonica said, you know what those people do? They profess allegiance to another king, Jesus. This is what you must do to seek the kingdom. Tender your resignation. You got to do it every day. It's what Jesus called somewhere else, taking up your cross daily. I heard about a man that had a unique way of doing that. He kept under his bed a white flag, and every morning when he woke up, before he got out of bed, he'd reach under his bed, grab that flag, wave it in the air, and surrender to God to start every day. I think that's what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 6:10, here's how I want you to pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are you praying when you say that? You know what you're doing? You're saying, God, I want you to rule me right now like you will rule me in heaven. How's God's will done in heaven? You think it's debated? In heaven, God's will is done immediately, completely, willfully, joyfully. And when you pray your kingdom come, you're saying, God, I want your rule in my life right now like it's going to be someday. You're saying, God, I want to listen to the Holy Spirit. You have sent him into my heart to guide my life, and I've got some control issues that the Holy Spirit needs to help me with. You see, when you start to listen to the Holy Spirit, you're going to find him saying every day, many times, is Jesus reigning over this? Is Jesus reigning over what you're watching right now? Is Jesus reigning over what you're reading right now? Is Jesus reigning over your job? If you got a chance tomorrow to get a new job with more money, what would your first thought be? I think most people, even most Christians, would say, well, I'd take it. It's more money. Wait a second. What if the new job couldn't promote the kingdom of God as much as the job you've got right now? Is Jesus reigning over the friendships you're pursuing? Is He reigning over the friendships you've decided not to pursue? The first rule is to make the first consideration in every choice the kingdom of God. Loved ones, we really do need to be saved from ourselves. We make lousy sovereigns. We think we can run our own lives, but most of us are not doing a very good job of it. We need to tender our resignation as master of our life. In fact, that's what we're going to do right now. I want everybody to stand up, please. Everybody, stand up. Hold up your right hand. Repeat after me. I do hereby resign my right to the throne. A right that was never really mine in the first place. Now, before you sit down, turn to your neighbor and say, I no longer think I should rule the universe. Maybe you want to wave a white flag. Maybe you want to hold your right hand up and resign your throne. Maybe you want to pray the Lord's Prayer. But some way, every day, resign as the master of your life. One of the best prayers about this I ever heard of was by a former second baseman of the New York Yankees named Bobby Richardson at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting. He was asked to close in prayer. And this was his prayer. God, Your will. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Do you want to seek the kingdom first? Tender your resignation. Second thing you do is you render constant praise and homage to God as King. Because there's a relationship between the kingdom that I serve and the worship that I give. Do you remember that Satan once said to Jesus, I'll give you kingdoms. I'll give you more kingdoms than you can handle if you'll worship me. Whatever you seek most is what you really worship. And what you really worship is what you will seek the most. And so one reason we worship is to reorient our hearts on the rule of God. At least that's what we should do. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we're like the lady that came to her church many years ago in the Netherlands. And there was this modestly dressed man sitting in the pew that her family had sat in for years. And she curtly told him to get up and move. That wasn't his spot. So he did, and he went and sat in a section reserved for the poor. And after the service, someone came and said, do you know who that man was? He's King Oscar of Sweden, who's here in town to visit our queen. But she wasn't expecting a king when she went to worship. I want you to start doing that. One reason we worship is to get back into the presence of a king. And that's why when you read the Psalms, the old hymns of Israel, Over and over you find words like majesty, reign, throne, king. Psalm 95 that we sing here often. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving, extol Him with music and song. Why? Because the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. Psalm 99, the Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He's exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He's holy. The King is mighty. He loves justice. You've established equity in Jacob. You've done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy. One of the best examples is Psalm 22, verse 3. You sit as the Holy One. The praises of Israel are your throne. Now, is God King whether we worship Him or not? Yes. God is King whether you praise Him or not. But when you praise Him, you enthrone Him in your heart. And God says, when I hear my people giving me sincere praise, I show up and I make their praise my throne. So, how do you seek first the kingdom of God? Well, every day you resign as master of your life. Every day you tell God, you're King, I praise your name. I want you to do that with me right now. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You were King of the heavens before there was time, and King of all kings you will be. We bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
All right, what have we learned? If I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, if I'm going to live by the first rule, every day I pray. And in the act of prayer, I dethrone myself. Every day I praise. And in the act of praise, I enthrone my God. But there's one more thing, and this one's the hardest. If I'm going to seek first the kingdom, I've got to surrender my worries in pursuit of radical righteousness. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness is how Jesus put it. To live in the kingdom is to pursue a surpassing righteousness. Jesus said, "Don't think I've come to abolish God's law. I've come to fulfill it." In fact, I tell you, if your righteousness doesn't surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
You see, the kingdom practices a righteousness that gets beneath the deed and reigns over the heart. Jesus said, now you've always heard it said, don't murder. Oh, but in the kingdom of God, righteousness goes a lot deeper than that. Don't hate. Don't say a foul word to anybody. And don't go worship God until you get things right with someone you've got a grudge against. That's kingdom righteousness. Well, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. Oh, but in the kingdom, righteousness goes a lot deeper than that. Don't lust. Don't let your eyes and your thoughts go to places that dishonor your marriage. Don't do it. That's kingdom righteousness. Now, you've heard it said, if you're going to divorce your wife, get the paperwork done first. Get everything legal before you go get another woman. Not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you save your marriage. In the kingdom, you keep your vow. That's kingdom righteousness. You've heard it said, love your friends and hate your enemies. Not in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you pray for everybody, especially your enemies. In the kingdom, you bless everybody. In the kingdom, you do to others as you'd have them do to you, whether they've done right by you or not. Now, in the kingdom, you take righteousness to a whole different level. You see, the problem is we've got too many worries to do that. And so we don't take Jesus seriously as teacher. We really don't. We take Him seriously as Savior. We're counting on Jesus to get us into heaven. That's what He knows about. But He doesn't know much about life. You cannot live like He taught and survive today. And so we domesticate Jesus. We like our Messiah's a little milder. Now, come on, Rick. If I gave my stuff to anybody that needed it and didn't ask for it back, do you know how many people would take advantage of me? And if I don't store up for myself treasures on earth, who's going to? And the business world doesn't work. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's dog eat dog out there. You do unto others before they do unto you, or your business gets run right into the ground and nobody sheds a tear. That's how it works in the real world. I'm counting on Jesus for heaven, but right now, somebody with a little more sense has got to run my life. I guess that ought to be me. And so we practice surface righteousness. We're afraid to get radical. We accept Jesus, but we don't really follow Him. We're too worried. You see, if we took Jesus seriously, our repentance would get as radical as the call of righteousness. We wouldn't let anything, anybody, any place, anywhere come ahead of the kingdom of God. We'd pay any price, no matter how crazy it seemed, to seek the kingdom of God. How radical is Jesus? Look at Mark 9 with me. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell. Isn't that extreme? Yes! That's the point. It's extreme. It's dangerous. And people will criticize you if you ever take the rule of God as seriously as Jesus did. But Jesus said, Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted. Why? Because of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Loved ones, the gospel of the kingdom is not just the way to get saved. It is the way to do everything. We got to stop being so worried. The irony is we're worried about what's going to happen to kingdoms we can't keep anyway. 1 year ago this month, E.V. Hill went home to be with the Lord. Some of you remember, great black Baptist pastor from Los Angeles, powerful preacher. Spent most of his life building a church in a really rough part of Los Angeles. Some years ago, he was invited to speak on a Sunday at a church in a southern city that was very, very affluent. And in his sermon, he made this interesting observation. He said to the church, I know what's missing. You folks don't have any graffiti anywhere. I'd like to volunteer to provide some for you. I'll get a bucket of paint and walk through your neighborhood writing this one word on your million-dollar homes and expensive European cars. Temporary. That's it. Temporary. None of it will last. Why is it? We consult every other kingdom when we make life decisions instead of the only kingdom that comes with a durable guarantee. Our righteousness is too tame. We're a whale in a tank, and we were supposed to be rhinos. So I want you to bow your heads right now, and I want you to pray a simple prayer. Praise team's going to pray a blessing over you. Here's your prayer. You commit to God one area of your life right now from the Sermon on the Mount where you're going to be bolder in pursuing kingdom righteousness. You pray that right now.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sing in Alleluia, Alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Father, I just pray over every head who's bowed today. I pray that the bowing of the head is a symbol for the bowing of the knees and the bowing of the heart. That some people are getting off the throne right now. And there's a burden in their hearts they haven't felt for a while. For a righteousness that goes deeper than it's ever gone before. Father, help us to understand that repentance is not something we have to do. It's something we get to do because something better has showed up. The kingdom of God. Help us to seek the kingdom with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. To live under the first rule. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And when we do, you can go to room 109, be prayed over by leaders of this church as you continue your pursuit of the reign of God. If you're ready to declare that Jesus is Savior and Sovereign and you want Him to run your life, then you need to be baptized into Jesus. And that faith act is your commitment to be His disciple. But before we do that, I want to give you one more tip about how to know whether or not you're living by the first rule. Here it is. The first response is an indication of who has the first rule. What do I mean? I mean, when somebody cuts you off in traffic, when your wife asks you to get up and do something for her, and you're in the middle of something you're enjoying, when somebody calls you a name at school, your first response is an indication of who's got the first rule. We're trying to become people who make the first response the reign of God. That's what we're trying to do. I want my friends to be able to say about me, he knew and lived by the first rule. What does God look for first? God looks first for what a man looks for first. Be that man, be that woman that looks first for the reign of God. Let's stand and sing.
Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power. Over all my dreams, in my darkest hour, you are the Lord. Of all I am, so won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign.
Thank you, church. Have a seat, please. Would you pass your attendance cards to the aisle now? Our guests, turn in the purple card now or take it to the Welcome Center. We'll give you a packet that tells you more about our congregation. This past Wednesday night, I shared with the church our plans to take advantage of what we think is going to be a powerful opportunity in this community after the opening of a movie this Wednesday called The Passion of the Christ. Many unbelievers are going to see this movie and have questions. We want to be prepared to answer those questions. And so I shared last Wednesday night that during March for four Sundays, I'm going to preach a series called Don't Leave the Passion Behind. I want you to help get the word out to your friends. There's flyers on the communion tables that you can take to give to them or leave in your office. There's going to be billboards. There's going to be a TV commercial. And then if you'll get on our website, church website, there's not only information for you about the movie and the opportunity, but there is a place where you can click, and there's a letter from me, an invitation to guests. You can email that invitation to your friends with your own note saying, hey, come in March. Our preacher's going to talk about the meaning behind the movie. Come join me. In fact, if you go to see the movie, I would encourage you to think about taking a non-Christian friend with you. Be in much prayer about this. I'm delighted to share that we're going to have two baptisms. Lance Hooper is going to baptize his son Cameron right after this service. And in just a moment, we're going to witness Kim Millett baptize Damon White into Christ.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Church, this is Damon White, and we have been studying with Damon for several months now. Kim, his wife, gave her life to Christ last fall, and she is just, her whole life has changed, and Damon has not been able to not see that. He has just seen what God has done in Kim's life, and Damon has recognized that there are just some things missing. He was raised in a different denomination, but had never been immersed into Christ. And as Rick began this message today, Damon, what he said was that in order to enter the kingdom of God, we've got to be born again. And what Jesus told Nicodemus is that we must be born of water and of the Spirit. And what is about to happen is your new birth. You're going to come up out of this water a brand new person and part of the kingdom of God, because you're letting Jesus Christ, you're choosing Jesus Christ to be the king of your heart and life. And there is no greater decision. I know that your teachable spirit has allowed you to see and understand exactly what Jesus has commanded you to do. So I want to ask you this question. Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, the Son of God?
Yes, I do.
And do you want him to be the king of your life and allow him to reign over you from this day on?
Yes, I do.
God bless you, Damon. Because you love Jesus, because you want to be his man, because you want him to be your king, you're now being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of every sin, so you might receive the gift of God's Spirit. On your nose, take a breath, bend your knees.
We love you with the love of the Lord. We love you with the love of the Lord. We see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the
Okay, remember that Cameron Hooper will be baptized right after this service. Invite family and friends up on the stage to witness that. Please sign up to get your picture in the directory if you haven't done it yet. And remember, there's still a few tickets left for Grace Cafe. It's a wonderful show. I'd like you to stand now for closing prayer. Drew Starnes is going to come and lead that prayer. Let's sing again just one verse of Seek Ye First, and then Drew will dismiss us.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Sing in Alleluia, Alleluia.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and I thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, help us take what Rick said to heart and let you be the pilot of our life, Lord. And just let us sit in the back seat and trust you like the little three-year-old that we are, and just let you drive us wherever and let us follow. In his name, amen.